from the life of King Jehoshaphat. That's where we are last week. Now, there weren't many outlines left because, if you remember, we passed them out last week. So if you didn't get one, we might have, do we have any left? We got one there. And so there's a couple. Anybody need one? Everybody got one that needs one? Dolly needs one. If anyone else needs one, we'll get the few that are left. And so if you were here last week, you'll have a copy there from last week. And so we are moving along. Now, you always, you know, what's that old saying? Like, hindsight's 20/20. So looking back at it, what I should have done is I should have done the kings of Israel and then just the kings of Judah and separated the two because we're bouncing back and forth. But I felt like if we just dwelt on the kings of Israel, it was just going to be bad for a very long time. That's why I'm trying to bounce them back and forth in the order that they were. Last week, who did we look at last week? King Ahab. And during King Ahab's reign, remember, he made an alliance with the king of Judah, which was Jehoshaphat. So when Ahab started out as king, Asa was still king. And then Asa dies and his son Jehoshaphat takes his spot. And so we're going to take our Bibles tonight and we're going to look at the scriptures and dive right in. So if you want to take your Bibles and go to 2 Chronicles chapter 17. 2 Chronicles 17. If you want more info and more passage to look at, you can look at 1 Kings chapter 22. But for tonight, we're going to look at 2 Chronicles chapter 17, 18, 19, and 20. Jehoshaphat gets quite a few chapters through here. And as we look, we'll see some historical context as we dive in tonight. Jehoshaphat's the fourth king of Judah. Now remember, the kingdom got split up between Judah and Israel. Israel's already had several kings up to this point, but we're only on the fourth king here in Judah, the fourth one there. And so his father was Asa. Now you say, who was Asa? You should remember. We just talked about him like 3 weeks ago. And Asa was a good king. Remember, he even kicked his mom out and said, Mom, you're done doing this stuff. You're done not following the Lord. And when's the one time you could kick your mom out? When she's not following the Lord. You say, well, how did he honor his mom at the same time? I don't know how he did it, but I'm sure the Lord helped him do it somewhere in there. But he was cleaning house and getting things right for the Lord. And that's what we need, and that's what Jehoshaphat did. And when we look at Jehoshaphat's life and his time as the king of Judah, it is a time of spiritual renewal and military strength in Judah. But what you got to understand is the reason why they had the military strength and the reason why the spiritual, all those things, he was focused on God. And not only was he focused on God, he was focused on everyone else getting back to God. It wasn't just the king here. They had people going around teaching God's law. And I'm jumping ahead of myself. We'll read more about this tonight as we go through here. But Jehoshaphat is praised in the scriptures for seeking the Lord and leading people back to faithfully worshiping God. He made a bad alliance with Ahab, which he shouldn't have made. And, you know, we look at people and compromising alliances like that. But what that tells us is even the good people are not perfect at what they do. And none of us are perfect. But as we look here tonight and we look at Jehoshaphat, we're going to learn from a godly leader, a man who was filled with faith under pressure. When the armies came in against them, he decided to serve the Lord. And so if you're there in 2 Chronicles chapter 17, I'm in 1 Chronicles, and it didn't look right. Look, it was talking about David, and I'm like, that doesn't quite look right there. 2 Chronicles chapter number 17. Now, you might notice as we go through our outlines, one of the things that I did with this series, because like tonight we're going through four chapters. Technically, we went to 1 Kings. We'd be going through five chapters of the Bible. I don't know if we could read five chapters of the Bible in the 30, 35 minutes I have to preach. So you'll notice that as we go through this, in your notes, it's basically repeating what we read in some of the scriptures because I'm trying to give you what happens in that time. So this is more of a, as we look at the way I preach and things, right now Sunday mornings I've gone more of a topical era right now, trying to focus in on, and this Sunday, we talked about this last week, breaking down walls and building bridges. And we're going to talk a lot about forgiveness. And we're going to watch a powerful testimony, Lord willing, with the end of my message, with time permitting, a powerful testimony of a man that learned to forgive. He got saved at a Billy Graham crusade. And many people did many awful things to this man. He was willing to go, and he went and sought them out and forgave them. Forgiveness is powerful. How we need forgiveness, and we'll talk about that on Sunday morning, first couple of services, and then we'll be back in Galatians in the third service this Sunday. But let's look here at chapter 17 and verse 1. It says, "And Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his stead and strengthened himself against Israel. And he placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah and set garrison in the land of Judah and the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had taken. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam." We know what's going on in Ahab's reign, right? Ahab built a whole temple for Balaam. And there was fighting that went on between Asa and Ahab and things like that. And so we see that the Bible says that, do you notice how it says he walked in the first ways of his father David? I might explain that a little bit more in a few minutes. But we see he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam. Verse 4 says, "But sought to the Lord God of his father and walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel. Therefore, because of that, the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honor in abundance. And his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and groves out of Judah." The high places, the groves. And you'll notice Asa tried to get them all gone, but they didn't get completely cleared out with Asa. The high places, the groves, were open temple areas where literally people would do things for their gods. There would be prostitution and things like that happen out in these open places. It was an awful thing. And literally we see that Jehoshaphat, Asa tried to get rid of it all, but in his reign he didn't get rid of it all. And so Jehoshaphat takes that up and is trying to get rid of that. So for a little bit of time tonight, the time that we have, we're going to look at King Jehoshaphat, someone who wholeheartedly devoted himself to God, and we'll see some wise leadership and some of the best leadership Judah ever had. And may I just remind you tonight, we live in a crazy world and a crazy day. And I went to the gym earlier today, and when I was there, they had news on two TVs right next to each other. And I try just to stay away from the news. I really do. I don't care if it's good Republican, conservative news. I don't care. I just am tired of the news all the way around. It does you much better just to search the scriptures. I'll tell you this. For the time I had to see some of those things on the news, I read a passage of scripture this morning that did more for my life than what that news did in any amount of time. In the book of Daniel, it says in chapter number 2, remember how Daniel was going to stand before, no one could answer the king's dream. And they brought Daniel before, and the king asked Daniel, "Daniel, are you able to do this?" He said, "No astrologer can, no one else can, but there's a God in heaven who can." And that's a good thought right there. Maybe you're going through a struggle tonight. Maybe you're having a tough time. Hey, there's a God in heaven who cares about you and knows where you're at. And that's just a great little thought. There's a God in heaven. Aren't you grateful there's a God in heaven? In the midst of everything else and us not knowing what the future might be, there's a God in heaven. But anyways, the news, they go back and forth, and you know, one makes Trump and that look like the perfect man. The other one makes him look like the devil. And they're right next to each other. And it's all about how they twist it and everything else. You know, we need godly leaders. Like, my biggest concern for our president right now is that he's letting Paula White be one of his spiritual advisors. That's not a good thing. I don't even think she's a saved lady. And that's my personal opinion. But she's one of his spiritual advisors right now. We need to pray that he gets better spiritual advisors on his committee other than her. Because we need godly leaders that will follow the Lord. And I'm grateful for things trying to turn things and make America great. But we need America to be godly. That's what we need. We need our churches to be godly and people to do what's right And if we can't do it in our own churches, why are people on the outside going to ever do it? Why are we ever going to get? And we need the Lord's help in so many ways. Let's pray and let's dive into the scriptures tonight. Father, we love you, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for the blessings you've given to us. We thank you for the word of God. And in a day where television and news just drives me nuts, I'm glad I can open up your word and find truth and security in your word in the midst of those times. Lord, help us. Guide us, Lord. We love you. We need you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Number one, let's get into it. We see Jehoshaphat's devotion to God. We read it here just a moment ago. His devotion to God. Where do we start when it comes to his devotion to God? We see, first of all, letter A, the early reforms that he did. And what he did, the Bible tells us, we read there that he walked in the ways of his father David. He didn't go after Balaam. He sought God. He walked in the commandments of God. He didn't follow Israel. And because of that, the Lord established the kingdom of Israel in his hand. And when we look at what were some of the things that he did, well, first of all, number one is he followed the ways of David and removed the high places. I don't know if you realize as we go through the kings, it's a good thing to be like David, right? That's a good thing. And so you'll notice some of the kings as we go through Judah, they'll say they were like David in this, but they didn't do this like David did. They were partially, and I remember one of my favorite sermons growing up, and I got to go back and listen to it at some point. Dr. Hiles preached a message years ago, right, but not all right. And he talked about the kings of Judah and how some did that which was right in the Lord and followed David, and some did all right and partially not all right. Great truth in that message. I remember that. Helped me as a teenager quite a bit. But you'll notice as we go through Israel's kings, as we've done, who is every one of Israel's kings compared to? Jeroboam. And he did evil as Jeroboam did. And it's getting to the point now where we just were at Ahab last week, and it says that Ahab was more wicked than any other king, and he followed in the sins of Jeroboam. But here we see that Jehoshaphat is following the Lord. He removed the high places. And then number two, he directed Judah to seek God. He wanted them to follow God. It wasn't just the king. Hey, the people, we all need to seek God. If we're going to do anything, we need to seek God. And may I remind you, that's just not good for a country to do. That's good for a church to do. Hey, when's the last time you were seeking after God? When's the last time you just spent time with him, searched the scripture, spent time in prayer? And I know you say, well, life's busy. Life's busy for everyone. You need God. I need God. Our church needs God. And it would do us well to do as Jehoshaphat did here. He got the people to seek after God. We should do the same thing. There's a lot of great lessons we'll see tonight. The third thing that we, or there's only two. Letter B, and we'll keep on moving on here. We see that Jehoshaphat, after his early reforms, he taught the people, or he was teaching them, God's law. Look there in 2 Chronicles 17. Look at verse number 7. It says, also in the third year of his reign, he sent to his princes, and even into Ben-Hail, and Obadiah, and to Zechariah, and to Nathaniel, and Micaiah, to teach in the cities of Judah. And with them he sent Levites, even Shemaiah, and all these people. You see all those names there. And the priests and things like that. And what did he send them to do? Look at verse number 9. And they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them. And they went about through all the cities of Judah and taught the people. Literally, think about this. This is the first time we've seen a king do this in Judah. He's literally having all the priests go and teach all the people God's law. We don't even do that in our own homes, and we call ourselves Christians. He taught them the word of God. You see, number one, the fact, and I just mentioned it there, that Jehoshaphat sent officials and Levites throughout Judah to teach the book of the law. People need God's word. Jehoshaphat knew that, and if the nation was going to draw near to God, you cannot draw near to God if you don't have the book. The book is what you need. And so he sent them through teaching them the book. And just something that we need to remember as well, we must ensure biblical literacy and truth are central in our families, in our churches, in our communities today. It needs to be there. People need the Word of God. Remember that passage about the children of Israel later on, or Judah? They were destroyed for lack of knowledge, right? And remember how when they came back, they were crying when the scriptures were read to them? How we need to have the Bible centered in our lives. And let me ask you, in your home tonight, do you even mention God's Word? Is it mentioned? Are you teaching those of you that have kids? Well, that's why I have them in the Christian school, or that's why I send them to church. The church, the Christian school, should be backing up what's already going on in your home. It's not my job to teach your children only God's Word. I will help you teach them God's Word, but I get them here a few hours. And in fact, our younger kids, I get with them 1 hour, well, 30 minutes in chapel once a month, and I get them every Wednesday night 30 or 40 minutes. That's all I get with them. And that's why I like having, I know some people like, I just don't like having my kids. Kids need to be in here. They need to hear their pastor too. You say, why do they need? They need to understand that church is more than just fun and games all the time and a quiet seat prize and everything else. They need to learn to sit and to enjoy what church is, because they're going to be an adult and they're going to be like, oh, church is boring. I don't want to be in church. But if they learn at a young age, I always look forward to my time being in church. And so, but you say, pastor, you're weird. Yeah, that's why I'm a pastor today. So it's a good thing I like being in church. It goes well with what the Lord's called me to do. If I didn't like it, then there might be a problem with that. But we see the importance of, and he taught them God's law, and what happened because of that. We see, letter C, it resulted in God's favor. Look at verse number 10. It says in verse 10, and the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the land that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. You'll remember, if we go back to Israel, the studies we've done about the kings in Israel, remember how they fought against Asa? There was fighting that went on. Ahab didn't get along with Asa. And when you're going against God, that's why there was the fighting. But God brought peace to Judah because of what they were doing. They were seeking God, and God's like, I want them to keep seeking me. Do you know sometimes the war and the catastrophes, the things, the fire, whatever the case may be, sometimes those things come because God's trying to draw us back to him. Where if we would stay with him and draw near to him, why does he need to bring any of those things in? You know why there's peace during that time? Because God wants them to keep doing what they're doing. Keep drawing closer to me. And it resulted in God's favor with them. And we see that there. And then we see number two, and we talked about this last week. We see the dangers of compromising alliances. He made an alliance with King Ahab. And we just said a few minutes ago, the wickedest king that Israel had to this point was Ahab. So how could Ahab and Jehoshaphat sit at the same table? They shouldn't have been able to. But one of the problems was God brought peace because they were drawing near to him. So it made it that Ahab wasn't his enemy anymore. But he makes this alliance with him. And we read about this last week, and so I'm not going to take too long with it. But 2 Chronicles 18 and verse 1, it says, now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor and abundance and joined affinity with Ahab. And you got to be very careful who you link up with and who you make alliances with. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but companion of fools are going to be destroyed. How can the righteous, you know, the Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, it goes back and forth, not to be unequally yoked, right? So I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. But anyways, we see, first of all, letter A, and I'm going to skip a little bit through some of this because we talked about it last week. We see his alliance with King Ahab. Now, as you take the time to go through and you study Ahab and you look at Jehoshaphat, you'll see, first of all, number one, that Jehoshaphat allied himself with King Ahab through marriage and agreed to go to war alongside him. And what we know, number two, is that Ahab's leadership and religious practices were just straight wicked. And never should Jehoshaphat and Ahab link up together. He makes that alliance. But even in the midst of that, we see that he seeks, letter B, seeks prophetic counsel. And we read this last week, but we'll read it from 1 Kings 22, verses 5 through 8. It says, "And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said to them, Shall I go unto Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Now you remember that later on when the prophet of God comes, he says that a lying spirit, told them to say that. We talked about that last week. You say, how could God use a lying spirit? I gave the answer last week. So if you missed it, you can go back to last week and listen to that. And it says, so these prophets say, hey, it's okay to go. But look at what Jehoshaphat says. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet of the Lord besides that we will inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. A good sign. When you have a wicked king that hates this prophet, he's the one you want to go to. He's the one you want. Ahab hated him, it says. For he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, Let not the king say so. You know, as we look at that, Ahab was one of those that just wanted to hear what he wanted to hear, even if it wasn't true. Kind of sounds like where our world's getting, the closer we get to the Lord returning, people having itching ears and all those things that the Bible talks about, not being able to endure sound doctrine and things like that. We need prophets, or we need pastors today that will stand up for the truth, even when people don't like what they say or like where they stand, and realize they answer to God for the things that they do. And we see the fact that Jehoshaphat, he insisted on hearing from a true prophet. Because all Ahab did was surround himself with false prophets. And let me give you a good help tonight. If you wonder, how do you know if a prophet is true or false? Where do they stand with Jesus? Try the spirits, whether they be of God. Isn't that what the scriptures say? If they believe correctly about Jesus, you say, but they aren't just like me, and they do. Where do they stand with Jesus? That's what it says in 1 John. That's Bible. So I'd rather go with Bible than anything else when it comes down to it. We see the fact that they sought godly counsel there. Jehoshaphat did. And then we see we see the rebuke and the consequences of it. And you're there in 2 Chronicles 19. Look at what Jehu said to Jehoshaphat here. It says in chapter 19, verse 1, "And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. And Ahab died." This is the battle that Ahab died in. And it says, "And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee before the Lord, from before the Lord. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, and that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land, and hast prepared thine heart to seek the Lord." So we see that God wasn't happy with it, and God wasn't thrilled with what he did. And we see what happens here, and we hear about these things. And so we see the rebuke, and he was rebuked by the prophet for helping the wicked. And that's why we got to be so careful who we align ourselves with in relationships. Or it could be business. You got to be careful in business. That's why, you know, I struggle at times when church people go into business together or work for each other. I really have a hard time with that because so there's a lot of problems that come in things like that. You got to be careful who you do business with. You got to use discernment about what ministries you partner with. Because people will bring me, "Pastor, we should go with this ministry." I don't ever just jump on a bandwagon with any ministry. We search things out and make sure, see where they stand on things. You say, well, such and such church, they approve. I don't care what such and such church does, because such and such church is not Victory Baptist Church. And I can't take care of what someone else does in their church. The Lord's called me to oversee this church. And we got to be careful in those alliances and things. We got to be very careful. We got to show discernment in relationships and business and ministry in our personal lives. Young people in the room, don't date or marry someone who's not a Christian. I don't know why that's so hard for people to understand when I say that. And yet it happens all the time. Pastor, I found a guy, or he found me. Oh, that's wonderful. Is he a Christian? I don't know. How long have you been? Oh, we've been going out for a while now. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Good question. Before you go on a date with someone, ask them where they stand with God. And then say no if they don't know the Lord. Are you okay over there, Katie? She's snorting over there. I don't know. It's her. No, I would never want to be in your head. That's, they talk about crazy. Yeah, that's what I picture Katie's mind being there. That's all that matters. That's all that matters right there, and that's good. So, see, she loves Jesus, and the correct Jesus, so she's okay. There's a lot of wacky things with her, but we just take it because we know it's all okay. And it's her and Manny's anniversary today. We pray extra for Manny and those things. But anyways, got to be careful in those areas and use wisdom. And parents, help guide your kids in that stuff. If David, you come home someday and say, I start dating this girl that's not a Christian, it will end on the spot. I promise you that. So you better not do that. You got me? He doesn't like girls yet. So no, do you like, he does, not yet. They still got cooties. They still got cooties up to this point. Keep that as long as you can, okay? And I hope that stays there along with you too, Matthew. Keep that there as long as you can. They have cooties. The only one that doesn't is your mother. How that worked out, I don't know. But other than that, stay clear. And so just use, we need discernment and we need God's help in all those things. Number three, let's keep on going. We see that Jehoshaphat trusted God in crisis. Look at chapter number 20. We don't have time to read all of this, but if we could, what time are we at? Yeah, we're at 7:18. Chapter 20, you need to read on your own time. I'm going to give you the gist of it in just a minute here. Look at what it says in chapter 20, verse 1. It says, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab, the children of Ammon, and with them others besides the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Now, does anybody remember where the Moabites and the Ammonites came from? David? What? Canaan. But where did they come before that? When's the first time they're ever mentioned in Scripture? Okay, I will have a reward for someone next week if you remember that and you come up to me and tell me what the answer is. Say, do you know the answer, Pastor? I do. What? Noah. But you're trying to go take, you can just say Adam, and everybody goes back to Adam anyway. So, and then everyone goes back to Noah because Noah's kind of like starting over with all that. But you'll just, it's amazing that when God's people sin and do wrong, how it always comes to mess with God's people later on. Yes, sir. Lot's daughters. Their children. Good job. You get a treat. You get a reward from me for that. That's good. And so you can take an extra soda then. That's easy. That's good. So, yeah, good job, Lee. And so Lot, remember Lot's daughters and what happened with them? And it's amazing how with God's people, the ones who were the biggest pain to them and caused them issues were the ones, in all reality, Lot should never have been there in Sodom. He should have stayed home and he shouldn't have gone with Abraham. But when you don't do things God's way, things happen. And then we see what Lot's daughters did with him, and it's gross and disgusting and never should happen, anything like that. And what happens with all that is we see that even years later, it's still coming back to hurt the children of Israel years later. So it says the, you know, the children of Moab, the children of Ammon, and with them others besides the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea of the side Syria, and behold, they be in Hezon Tamar and En Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared. Now, sometimes when we fear, that leads us to do dumb things. That didn't happen with Jehoshaphat here. Read and see what it says. Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Now, I wasn't going to read all this, but I don't trust some of you that you're going to actually go home and read this. And listen to Jehoshaphat's prayer right here. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. Think of like the president of the United States getting ready to give an address in front of Congress, and everyone's watching. Everybody's tuned in. Everybody's watching this thing. And this is Jehoshaphat saying, they're coming up against us. And what does he do? He prays. And he said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? What a first verse in his prayer right there, right? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gave it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwell therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let invade Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this company that cometh against us, neither know we how to do. What's he saying right there? We don't know what to do in this situation, but look at what he says. But our eyes are upon you. We're going to trust you, and you're going to take care of this. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. What a prayer, right? And now listen to what happens here. It says, and then Jehazel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Matana, a Levite of the sons of Asaph. Who was Asaph? He's kind of like the music director for David, wasn't he? And so it's one of his sons. Look at what it says. Came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. For the battle, it's not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah, O Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Now, it's good, great, and wonderful to pray and say, God, we believe our eyes are on you. We don't know what to do. We're going to let you lead us. We trust you. And then someone gets up in the Spirit of the Lord and says, the battle, God's going to get the battle. You're going to go out there and stand there and watch the Lord deliver. It's one thing to hear it and to pray for it. It's another thing to step out by faith and go out and do it. Let's keep on reading. I wasn't going to read all of it, but I know some of you won't read it later, so we got to. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head and his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. They break out in a worship service with the Lord right there. And the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God. So shall ye be established. Believe his prophets. So shall ye be, so shall ye prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, that they should praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." And when they began to sing and to praise, look at what the Lord does. He sets up ambushments, traps, against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. The people are singing praise to God and just waiting there, and all the people are destroying themselves before them. It says, and when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked upon the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. Imagine going out to a battle and everyone's dead. You don't have to do anything, just like the Lord said. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering the spoils. It was so much. There was a lot of spoils and a lot of victory that came there. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Berakah, and there they blessed the Lord. And therefore, the name of the place was called the Valley of Berakah unto this day. Then they returned every man unto Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. And Jehoshaphat reigned over Judah. He was 35 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shilhai. And he walked in the ways of Asa his father and departed not from it, doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Howbeit the high places were not taken away, for as yet the people had not prepared their hearts unto the Lord, unto the God of their fathers. You see how Jehoshaphat wanted to remove all the high places, but you notice they weren't all gone? Because you can have it in your heart to do what God wants you to do and to follow God, but the people got to follow God. They have to make the choice to follow God. You know, that's kind of, remember Joshua? You can do what you want to do, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. And we see what takes place. What a victory. But what was the key to victory? Their trust in God. And that's why, Christian, I want to encourage you in this fact. God is the same today as he's ever been, and God never changes. And the battle belongs to you. You've already won. We sang that song a little bit ago tonight. God has the victory. Let me give you these blanks. I read a lot of scripture. We don't have much more time. Letter A, a vast army approaches. You see, I was going to give you just these points and have you read it later, but sometimes I don't know that always happens, so we took care of it there.
We see letter B, Jehoshaphat's prayer. Something that I do, and something that would be wise for every... I want to grow in my prayer life with the Lord. How many of you want to grow in your prayer life? One of the things that I like to do is I love anytime I get to a prayer of someone, I break it down and I study that prayer. Nehemiah I've done Jehoshaphat. There's several prayers throughout the Bible. The Lord's intercessory prayer for all of us in John 17, even the model prayer in Matthew 6. Anytime someone prays, I always take heart to it and I read it and study it. And one of these days, Lord willing, one of these days, I'm going to do a whole sermon series on all the prayers of the Bible. It's not done yet, but I've been working on this one for years. So it's not done yet, and so we'll see when the time comes, because there's a lot we can learn from those that pray to God. And I want to grow in my prayer. And that's where I'll listen to people pray all the time. It's one of the things I love about prayer meeting. Everyone prays differently. And last time I checked, there's no... If you're praying to God and talking to God, you can do it. Like, your dad's not here tonight, Mary, but when your dad, I remember he told me when he first started coming to prayer meeting, he's like, I will never pray out loud. I can't do that. And I'm like, you don't have to. You can sit there and be quiet. And I still remember the first time that he prayed during prayer meeting. It was literally what I felt like. I felt like he was sitting in his recliner at home. Does he have a recliner at home? He has a recliner at home. I felt like he was sitting in a recliner and that God was sitting in the recliner right next to him. And they were just having a chat about the day. And I think that's wonderful. I think that's a great way to pray and talk to God. And so you can learn so much from people and how they pray. And you notice that he called for the people to fast. He called for these things to happen. Jehoshaphat did. And he said, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. We're waiting to see what you want us to do. Hey, before you make major decisions in your life, you know what would be a good idea? Quit trying to run ahead of God and plan everything out and do what you want to do. Why don't you just wait and see what God wants you to do? Much better way to live your life. Anyways, letter C. Prophetic assurance and worship. And we mentioned how the prophet with the Spirit of the Lord told them that the Lord was going. And they had the faith to go out there and do it. Jehazael, moved by the Spirit, said, the battle's not yours but God's. The battle belongs to you. That's kind of where that song comes from, if you ever wondered, that Phil Wickham wrote. People of Judah worshiped in faith. They sung to the Lord. And do you know what most armies do when they're getting ready to battle? They get their weapons and they get ready for war. What did the children of Israel do, or Judah? They worshiped. You know what you need as you go to battle? You need to do a little bit more worshiping and get ready for the battle that's coming anyways, because the Lord's already got the battle taken care of. And then we talked about God's miraculous, letter D, God's miraculous intervention. As Judah sang and praised, the enemy forces turned on each other and Israel got spoils for days. I love how it says right there in that verse. It just says it was so much. Yeah, it really was. They had to keep collecting it, and it was all right there for them. You know, when we do so much better in our lives is to rely on God and trust Him. Now, I know I'm out of time. Oh, it's only 7:34. That wasn't bad to give you that whole passage right there. I always say when I'm doing these, I'm like, I'm not going to read a lot of the scriptures because we're not going to have time, and then I read all the scriptures, and then I just give you my little points after that because it's better to hear the scriptures. Anyways, couple of lessons and lasting impacts that we have, some implications from Jehoshaphat. The first one we see about him was his consistent devotion to God. Jehoshaphat from the very beginning sought the Lord from his start, and he continued. And let me just encourage you, just be consistent in your devotion to God. This is a lot of times what people do, it's either 110% or it's nothing. Just be consistent. I'm going to read the Bible through in a year, and you go 1 month. Just be consistent. Be consistent. Pray, be consistent. Your church attendance, be consistent. In your giving, don't just give when times are good. You give when times are not. Just be consistent. We need consistent devotion to God, to the things of God. Let her be. We can learn from this passage of Jehoshaphat discernment in relationships. What we see with him is the fact that his alliance with Ahab teaches us the importance of being careful who we partner with. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 6:14 not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You need to be careful. Letter C, confidence in God alone. In crisis, where did Jehoshaphat go? And as I mentioned, when people fear, people do dumb things, right? Just like in our world, COVID, empty toilet paper out of all the stores. Still don't understand that one. Or even right now, we know eggs are an issue right now, okay? Why do people need to have hundreds of eggs in their house? Before this ever happened, they didn't have hundreds of eggs, and now they need hundreds of eggs. I heard someone the other day, they're like, what's the real egg problem? And then they made some joke. I don't know if I should make, I'll save it. But they said, you know, the hens are designed to be roosters or something like that. You know, they just, but some of you, that went right over your head, and some of you, you got that. But people do just crazy things. We fear. But when Jehoshaphat feared, he turned to God and said, we're going to trust you. You have this. And great lesson for us. Instead of relying on an alliance with Israel or other people, he relied on God. Instead of trying to do it in the might and strength. And now, listen to something. Did not it say about Jehoshaphat that the kingdom, they were strong. Their army was strong during this time. They could have went to battle for themselves and tried to take on this army coming. But he knew it's not about having a strong army. It's about who God is. Where do you go in crisis? Where do you go when things aren't going the way you think they should be, or when you're going through a battle? Where do you turn? That's what faith's all about. We need to learn what prayer, fasting, and worship's all about, and trusting the Lord. And they didn't fast because they wanted God to do something for them. They fasted because they wanted God. It's a big difference. A lot of people fast today because I'm going to get God to do something for me if I fast. That's not what fasting's about. Fasting's about God getting a hold of us and our reliance on him. A lot more I could say about that, but I'll end that there. And letter D, humility and repentance. Even after mistakes, Jehoshaphat remained open to God's correction. Genuine faith includes the willingness to be rebuked and to adjust things when you're not doing it the way God wants you to do it. What a good king. Judah was blessed to have Jehoshaphat as their king. Because we're going to see as we go into the next couple kings, Judah has a few not so good kings now. But one of the reasons why I believe they didn't have good kings for a little bit of time was because when Jehoshaphat tried to get them to do what's right and remove all the groves in the high places, what did we read about at the end of his days? Not all the groves were gone because the people didn't set their hearts towards God. And when the people didn't set their hearts towards God, why are they going to give a godly leader to the people? It's just like we look today and we want America, we want God's blessing on all those things. Why would God give us a godly leader if we're not being godly in the things that we do in seeking him today? We got to seek him. We need him, just as they did in this passage. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for the truths that are found here.